Good morning. Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council study session of Thursday, June 14th to order. I do need to excuse Vice Mayor Walters today. She's a member of the National League of Cities Community Economic Development Steering Committee, and the group is currently meeting in Connecticut. I also need to excuse Councilmember Jones, who is in North Carolina attending the National League of Cities Public Safety and Crime Prevention Committee meeting. That meeting is taking place about 11 miles away from a water park facility that is similar to what we're looking here at Wave Yard, and we got a phone call that he is checking it out this morning. There are some Olympic kayakers or rafters that are practicing on the course, and I said, just hop in, let's see what it's like. So we'll see what kind of pictures Councilmember Jones brings back, and hopefully he has a good ride out there in the water park. The first item for our agenda this morning is to hear a presentation and discuss the Southeast Mesa Strategic Development Plan.
Good morning, Mayor, Council, Scott Butler, acting Williams Gateway Project Manager. I wanted to come back to Council this morning. We were here a few months ago speaking to Council about the opportunity and seeking direction for really doing a comprehensive planning strategy, a plan for Southeast Mesa. Besides doing a piecemeal approach where we would have done transportation and then a separate study on land use, we wanted to consolidate everything and really present a dynamic vision and lay out the challenges, the opportunities, and what exactly lies in store for Southeast Mesa, because it is so important to the future of our city. Following council direction, the city issued an RFQ to select a firm that would be able to carry out such an ambitious and comprehensive plan. And we're here today to introduce the firm that we are recommending and allow them an opportunity to share with you how we'll go about conducting this plan. I would just say that, you know, the challenges and opportunities are really dynamic. As speaking with the city manager about the other day, we're actually planning an area that's larger than the city of Tempe and nearly the size of the city of Glendale and Flagstaff, and that's just the boundaries of what we call the Williams Gateway area. It's a really exciting area, exciting opportunity for the city. So with that, let me turn it over to Mike James, who from our transportation department, who will go ahead and introduce our team this morning and make some other comments.
Thank you, Council. One of the points that I'd like to bring up as we're working through the scope with our consultants is that we're taking a very fine point on the fiscal and financial implications of this plan. And in doing that, we're finding that the scope that we're putting together really is addressing those issues up front. We're doing a base economic and fiscal analysis that's very thorough from the very beginning of this plan. And this is kind of new and exciting to the way we've kind of set up the approach. In addition to that, just would like to introduce project manager Chet Tieford and assistant project manager Leslie Dornfeld on this project. They've put together a PowerPoint that really can walk you through some of the major elements of this plan that we're excited to get working on for you today. So with that, I will hand it over. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It is good to be here. We're very happy to be selected for this project. I'm Chet Tieford with HDR. With me is Leslie Dornfeld, who is Assistant Project Manager and our lead planner, and I would like Leslie to lead us through the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. Good morning. And I just want to iterate Chet's words. We're just thrilled to be here and thrilled to have the opportunity to work with you on this project. Do I just use page now?
Yes, it is there, right there.
That out.
No, the other one.
Okay. We just put together a quick little presentation that will describe our scope of work and how we're approaching this project. But before I go through that, I just want to give you a little bit about our perspective of this. We really think that this is really a perfect storm. It's a place where you have enormous growth of population and employment. The entire real estate market is looking at it. You have an airport. You have freeways. It's really just a perfect storm of opportunity, and we really do see it as a tremendous opportunity for Mesa. The project team includes HDR. We are the lead consultant. You've met our team leads. In addition to that, we have modelers, engineers, and other planners that will be working on the project, working with us to help us and support us in land use planning and integrating land use with transportation as community design and architecture. And I might add that each of these consultants was really selected for specific expertise. Community design and architecture has a substantial amount of experience working with land use planning, working with development that integrates land use and transportation, but also working around airports. They've worked with Forest Cities, they've worked on Stapleton, and they've also worked around the Albuquerque Sunport as well with Forest Cities, developing substantial employment areas that are now under construction and are going in the ground. One of them includes a studio, for example, Lionsgate. The economic development strategy and financing portions of this are two consultants, and Mike did mention that the city really asked us to pay special attention to that. The fiscal impact consultant, Fishkind, Hank Fishkind's model is used by the state of Florida, over 50 cities and counties in the state of Florida. It's actually a shareware that the city of Mesa will have. And what it allows you to do is look at the costs of the infrastructure and the revenues that development will produce, and look at the type of development you're planning for and see if that makes fiscal sense. And once we have that fiscal model, we know what the costs and revenues are, we sort of know what we need to find in terms of financing and money. And so to help us do that, we've brought in IMG. And again, IMG has got a lot of experience with airports, but some of the roads that they've developed financing packages for in our projects, and are actively involved in financing include the California High-Speed Rail, the Texas Toll Roads, the Third Chicago Airport, and then some street lighting and sewer projects, among many, 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 many others. So we felt that this was a project that had firm that had diverse experience in understanding financing and knowing how to financing a range of infrastructure that you would need to make this area successful. And then helping us with the transit, and also because Ken, frankly, Driggs knows the East Valley probably as well as most people, we included Trans Systems. And Ken will be working closely with us, with the stakeholders, with the city, but also we'll be working with Trans Systems. You begin to look at transit options throughout Mesa, and Trans Systems is the firm you're using to do that. Our approach to this project really is to look at the Williams Gateway area as a wonderful resource, and our approach is going to be to enhance the assets of that area, in particular the airport. That's a wonderful, wonderful resource. We really recognize the value of all those resources there. We recognize we need to integrate land use and transportation, not only because there is regional traffic that comes through that area, but there will be a lot of development within that area, and we don't want to create a situation where what's internal gets congested by what's external, or what's external prevents regional uses from coming to the area. We want to make sure that we're very fiscally responsible in everything that we do, and that our approach is strategic, that we time the city's actions to the actions of the private community through a lot of work with the developers, with the landowners out there, to make sure that everybody gets the biggest bang for their buck as they continue to invest. Some of the parts of our approach that are a little bit different than probably a standard approach is, one, our approach really looks at the city, the landowners in the area, the jurisdictions, potential fund as all potential partners. Everyone is a potential funding entity. So we all need to make them partners as we work through this process. We'll be doing scenario planning, and I think a couple of them are back here. I know Jill is, at least. We'll be doing scenario planning. We'll be looking at alternatives before we move forward with a draft plan. We just won't go away into a room and come back with a plan, but we'll be developing some alternatives, and then through a workshop, we'll work with you to come up with a draft plan. Our economic development program will be strategic. I talked a little bit about that. We'll also be providing you with a sub-area regional transportation model to address some of those transportation concerns that we had talked about. And then also the funding financing approach will be benefit focused. You know, everybody's going to get something out of it, so everybody will be willing to stay at the table. And finally, a plan that when it's produced is not just something that sits on the shelf, but something that could be a tool for economic development. And people will really get a vision for what this area looks like when they see the plan. A little bit more detail on some of these unique items. The partnerships-based process includes confidential interviews with a variety of entities, landowners, some of the jurisdictions. There's a lot of jurisdictions in that area. The agencies, a lot of the agencies dealing with roadways, for example, and including the railroad. We've got the airport, and they are a partner all the way through this process, as well as the state lands in the municipal planning area to the east. Our planning approach, as I had mentioned, includes a lot of scenario planning. There's, fortunately, this slide didn't work, but, oh, go back. There we go. I'm sorry. Scenario planning. This is an example from Community Design and Architecture, Places 29, a project they recently completed in Charlottesville, Virginia. And then we'll be having a plan refinement workshop where we work with you to refine those scenarios down to one. And then we'll be modeling two out of those three scenarios so that as we make decisions to refine the scenarios, we're doing it with full information, full transportation information, fiscal information, and financing information. The Strategic Economic Development Program will be something that's developed carefully with the stakeholders, working with them every step of the way. And our approach is one, quantitative. It looks at timing for key infrastructure. If a project's going in, we'll try and time improvements that are exterior to that project so everything works together, that it's coordinated, but also that it's qualitative. I mentioned this is a perfect storm. It's a tremendous opportunity for Mason, its economic development program, to target some industries maybe they haven't thought of, maybe that are unique to the region, and really use those to spur growth in the area and work with the private sector and work with our planning to make sure that the infrastructure is in place to support the program we wanted. Another component is using local and national experts. We expect that as we go through this process, there's just going to be something we don't know how to fix or solve. But we also know that there are people out there throughout the country that have done this stuff and can solve it. So our approach and our team has enough contacts and connections to go to experts that maybe aren't local or maybe local experts and ask them, how would you handle this? Give us some ideas. And kind of use the best of the best to make sure this plan is really going to get Mesa where it wants to go. Our land use transportation approach is very integrated. And part of that is we really know that we need to come up with a vision for this area. It really is the core of not Southeast Mesa, but the Southeast metropolitan region. It's the core for Pinal County. It's the core for development to the east. As you go into the mountains, I could envision people from Globe coming down here to shop or for entertainment for the night. It's not that far. And also for areas to the north. So it really is a tremendous center of the region. It's a new regional center in many ways. We want development to set a standard. It needs to be something that really looks to the future and is future-focused. An economic development specialist once said to me 15 years ago, whoever thought of, or 20 years ago, whoever thought of Starbucks? And look at how that's transformed our landscape. It would build on prior work and studies. We know there's a tremendous amount of work that's been done in this area, a lot of studies that have been done. We don't want to go back and redo that. We're going to move that forward. Everything we do will support the airport. We recognize what a gem that is, and we want to make sure that it's fiscally sound. Our sub-area transportation model, the reason we're doing that is there are very unique conditions here presented by the airport, by freeway alignments, by through traffic, by the different jurisdictions. We want to model those scenarios, and we'll model the final plans to look at internal traffic volumes and really understand what we need to do here so we don't waste our money on infrastructure that really doesn't solve problems. We also know that there are some early roadway decisions that need to be made. We're hoping that with our base conditions model, we'll be able to provide some input into the city so that they can begin to make some of those early decisions in a manner that supports us as we move forward. We'll be coordinating with utilities and services. We will be providing the plan to the water department so that we can make sure that there's adequate infrastructure to support development as it moves forward, as well as looking at the other kinds of services, police and fire, that would be needed by the plan. A lot of those numbers are going to be generated by the fiscal model that FishCon puts together. And then finally, the fiscal part of our planning approach is really, again, as I said, benefit-focused, but one of the things that our sub-consultant tells us is that certainty is a wonderful place for money to come. And so the more certainty we can create with this plan, the more of a real clear outline we can create, the more successful they believe that Mesa will be in creating the partnerships that it needs to create the type of infrastructure it wants. The other thing they think is also important is equitable. And that doesn't only just mean counting the pennies, but counting the benefits. And again, that's why it's a benefit-focused approach. It looks at not only tangible, but some of the intangible and more long-term benefits that one can get from partner financing. And then the final thing is that there are multiple partners. It's sometimes it's a many-pronged approach. You can use private money to leverage public dollars. There's a whole different set of ways of looking at things where you can understand financing differently. And I have to apologize to you. I'm not the expert here, so I can only bring a message and bring back some questions. Our schedule is to get this through the process in 13 months. That's a very broad-based schedule. As we work finalizing and more closely refining the scope of staff, we'll have much more refinements and target dates in the schedule, but we have committed to a 13-month schedule. And again, just to restate it, we see this as a tremendous opportunity, really a legacy opportunity. We recognize this is an important part for the future of Mesa. And with that, I thank you and would be happy to answer any questions.
Great. And Mayor, just a few things to point out, too, as Leslie concludes the presentation, and it was alluded to, but this has really been a concerted effort from the start, that this is just not a City of Mesa-driven effort, that this is a Southeast Mesa effort. And I know that it was alluded to that we've had partners along the way. The selection panel actually, for the consultants, actually included Paragon, DMB, and Levine. So we did have, and also Williams Gateway Airport as well. So we wanted to set the tone right from the start that we would, this would not just be a staff-driven, city-driven proposal. This would truly be a partnership with the private entities that that are driving the area. And some of the folks are here this morning. We appreciate them being here. Another point to make as well is that funding for this project is included in next year's budget, so that is being considered as you consider the budget process and is allocated and set aside for next year. One last thing, Mayor, and I know this was really important to you, and we appreciate our folks being really responsive to that, and that's been to consolidate this and get the timeline as tight as possible. And what we've been able to do, and especially in light of the recent approval by the legislature to change our election dates, we believe, though, if all goes well, that we'll be able to bring to council our final plan in May of next year. So considerably condensing the time frame that we first brought back to council per your suggestion, and we're very hopeful that this council will be able to make any decisions on the recommendations brought forth before the terms of office are over for this current council. So with that, Mayor, certainly open up for any questions.
Let me start on a few. The relationship with Pinell County, Queen Creek on transportation, solid. We're going to be coordinating all of those roadways because we want to make sure there's connectivity. Obviously, Queen Creek has a huge issue with pass-through traffic. We'll probably get it. If we build a road, then I don't want to just divert it from one to the other and us pick up their problems and issues unless it makes economic sense also. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We're, in fact, staff has already been meeting. We're going to continue to meet. And as we kick off the study, HDR and their team will be brought in to understand each of the agencies' relationships as far as the roadway network, making the connections and making some good decisions in the transportation network.
Okay, and I think the underlying is the master plan as we currently have it approved is what we're looking at for land use. I mean, there may be some tweaks to that, but we're not talking about moving additional residential into that area or expanding the commercial. We're basically assuming the premise that our master plan as presented and approved with the amendment with the Levine property is what the basis of land use is. Is that correct, or are we going to look at whether this thing in fact can accommodate that much employment, or how much of the economics and the tweaking of that is going to take place?
Part of our approach starts out with one looking at some of the work that's been done. So some of that work actually does look at some adjustments to the current general plan land use. What we want to do is work with the economic strategist to talk with Levine and Paragon and others in that area, DMB, for example, to say we've learned that Mesa has a tremendous opportunity to become a home for widget manufacturing. Are there areas within your plan you think that could work well? And let those folks go back and say, well, you know what, there is a place that we think widget manufacturing would be great. We might have some adjustments there. If they say absolutely not, then we could look in other areas within the planning area that aren't maybe covered by some of those major stakeholders and approach some of those property owners. So wouldn't the intent would be to make sure that the plan is set up in a way that can capitalize on opportunities, and that might involve minor tweaking. We don't anticipate doing anything that would endanger the well-being of the airport, the end of that runway area, which we've learned is a tremendously important area. And so in those respects, I think the plan would, the existing plan, there's some helicopter approach areas. The existing plan would respect those. I mean, there's no intent to change that.
Community facilities districts, different types of financing models going to be explored through this as it pertains to economics and what the payoff is that?
Mayor, members of the council, absolutely. Fishkind is sort of the community facilities district guru because that's how Florida operates. That's what that model does. But what we hope to do with IMG is broaden out the examination of tools for financing so that it isn't only CFDs. CFDs are good to a certain extent, but there's some things that they don't cover. And so we're hoping to, there are some timing issues that can be associated with them. We're hoping to look at other tools to help us address some of those gaps.
Right. When you do your financial modeling, are you assuming that Mesa is going to go to a secondary property tax so that the commercial building values is a resource that comes back to the city? Or what assumptions are you going to make?
At this point, Mayor, I can't answer that question, but we'll be happy to work through those assumptions with you as we provide updates in the process.
Okay, you may need to do with and without to give us an idea on if it does pass, what we capture for a repayment for those job centers, because if they're not retail sales tax based, it may make a huge difference on whether we continue in to have jobs or whether we just push for retail and big box stuff.
And Mayor, I would just add to that as well. This was really a focus that the city manager asked us to look at because we really want to take a holistic approach to the financing, not just the tools that are available currently in Arizona, but we do want to really examine those. But we've asked HDR to also bring us, you know, for lack of a better term, best practices from around the country, maybe things that we could go to our legislature and talk to them about and speak to the virtues of alternate financing mechanisms that could potentially help finance the infrastructure in the area. So that's going to be an important piece to this study.
Okay. Will you model out an advanced infrastructure development versus a normal absorption to see what the difference is as far as the upfront money and the payback? Because what we're getting is we'll have some developments that would like to skip a land use that's not quite ready. They're ready to go. But the normal absorption process that we're used to historically doesn't work. So how much of the area can you advance by doing the infrastructure to allow those parcels to come online earlier, sometimes 5-10 years earlier than they might normally? And is that to our benefit to make sure that we work those deals or not? It's always a tough question to analyze for me, and I was just curious to know if that absorbed in 10 years versus absorbing in 25 years, what's the return to the city to accelerate that and to make sure that we do everything we can on bonds and creative financing with the developers on repayment methods or some of those tactics. So,
Mayor, members of the council, it is my understanding that the Fishkind model allows us to change infrastructure timelines.
Well,
by changing those timelines, we'll be able to see what would happen by bringing things on earlier, bringing things on later, right, and adjusting the revenues time stream as well.
Okay, I'd like to that has a particular interest to me. We have a current zoning case that's trouting the advantages of bringing it on earlier, too, that fits right in line with that question. So, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mayor. Planning area that moves into Pinal County, are we working with Apache Junction or have they elected to stay out?
Yeah. Mayor and Councilman, let me answer that question because I've had those conversations. Actually, for this study, we've agreed with Apache Junction, Queen Creek, and actually the State Land Trust Department has asked that we kind of pull back at this time until such time that the state can join in and looking at how to review and study that area. So we've essentially agreed as the three cities and the state to collaborate together, maybe either in this process or a separate process to look beyond, to look into that area. And frankly, that area probably doesn't do justice for what our, I mean, we've defined that as our planning area, but we're probably, our interest is probably much broader than that. So we think it would be beneficial. And we've agreed to work with those separate entities, not only look at that 10.5 square mile area, but to look at it both going north and south of that there also.
Okay, so it is not part of this study.
At this point, we really need to be consistent with the request of all those individuals, including the state, is to not pursue it immediately, but come up with a plan that we can all agree to, which may allow us to come back later and include it. But right now, they all want to kind of sit at the table and try to have everybody be part of the process and discussion at the beginning. And so we'll probably put that on hold for now.
And then there's a lot of folks that believe in mixed use. That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to seeing, is what are appropriate mixed uses around an airport. And I'm assuming that that's part of your study, and we'll be able to bring us information back in that regard. DMB is a primarily mixed-use developer with a large residential component, and I'm just trying to figure out how the fit and what kind of fit in their plan. And I know they have not presented any plans yet, but I'm curious to see how this whole thing works together with DMB to see what the appropriate mixed-use fit would be for that northern half of the GM.
And Councilman Whalen, Mayor Hawker, members of the council, that's actually the Sunport. What you can't see is those are all, if you look at a couple of those buildings where there's some different colors in there and shades, that's an industrial park around the airport that has mixed uses in it, obviously not residential because it's literally at the runway. But there's commercial and industrial, and those street grids are arranged in a way to promote a healthier retail environment. And that's actually under construction. Stapleton is clearly the poster child for mixed-use projects. While that was built on an airport that was decommissioned, that's also another Forest Cities project. And that is why we used community design and architecture there from the Calthorpe School, which is the transit-oriented development mixed-use school, which is that's sort of their lifeblood. So that is a commitment to the project mixed use where it's appropriate. There's some areas, for example, that may be impacted by airport operations where we need to be careful with how we approach mixed use, and we make it viable economically and make the infrastructure understand what you need in terms of infrastructure and that use as well.
Thank you. And then finally, in reference to transit, are you anticipating talking to Union Pacific in reference to commuter rail because of the close proximity to the railroad? I know there's a commuter rail study underway by the East Valley Partnership and MAG, but I'm just wondering if that's part of this process also.
Mayor, members of the council, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
On the transit question, if you do a transit-oriented development in that area, the follow-up question is, who's going to pay for that? Because it's usually a subsidized service. Is it Mesa or is it the region? And if it's a region, what other projects within Mesa's region do we sacrifice in order to do that? I don't know if you'll go that far or analyze the costs, but most of what I've seen, there's still subsidies up to 75% for any type of transit. So it's not a free ride, and don't just put it in saying, this is wonderful and here's how it's going to happen, but not have a funding source, or at least put a big star behind the side saying, but it's not funded.
Mayor, maybe I could answer a little bit about that. As part of this plan, we will be getting basically an update to our existing transportation plan. When it was originally done, it was called out that in the future, the transportation network and plan would be updated, and this is a part of that update. As part of that, we will also consider the regional transit system was approved in Prop 400, which does bring service into this area. So we're not initially looking at subsidies. We're going to look at what's existing first. And then after that, after we get that base condition of what is coming in through regional funding, we'll look at whether it does financially make sense to approach additional transit in the area. But it will be all tied to our fiscal and financial modeling, so that will occur.
Okay. Other questions? Scott?
I think with this model, what we may come up with is what they mentioned in the beginning is we're going to have some challenges in this area. Transportation is going to be one of them, both for light rail, mass rail, not light rail, commuter rail, mass transit, and just for the fact we don't have any roads in much of this area and infrastructure. So perhaps what might be developed are a number of models or possibilities based on where the funding is coming from. With current, under the current system, current Prop 400, you can get this. If we can get the region to approve another proposition here in 10 years, perhaps that grows and we can add more to this, have more jobs, more infrastructure, more development out there. So it should be, the end product should be quite flexible. One question I do have for you is, and it's interesting enough that we're going to see this here in a moment, how does the development or potential development of the Superstition Vistas area, that area in Pinal County, with a population base possibly upwards of 1 million or more people, going to fit into this model? One thing that we hear is we need a mix of job to resident ratio. We have early development that wants to seem to create that mix of job to resident ratio right in this area without thinking beyond that box, that line at Meridian Road, where when you get to the east, there's going to be more population out there, more red tile roofs. How do we work that plan in, the Superstition Vistas, and say we need to create a job-to-resident ratio here where the jobs are higher, because this is potentially another urban core where people from Pinal County will move in here, or not move in here, but come here for their employment and create a strong employment base. So how does that work into that model?
Go ahead, Leslie.
One of the things is Councilman, Mayor, members of the Council, Councilman, you're absolutely right, and it's one of, I think, what our team looks at as the breadbasket for this area. As this area goes, really is as Superstition Vistas goes, and we see that providing a lot of the residents and the employment for this area. While this planning effort is developing, there's a variety of ways that we can make estimates about the numbers of people that would be coming in. And the way the modeling works is they're sort of gate, so to speak. So you just count those people coming through the gate and you add them into your area. But it does plan on doing that. We know that East Valley Partnership has just initiated the, actually just put out their proposal for a visioning for the Superstition Vistas area. But we also know that they've done some other work for that area. And we intend on looking at those numbers and adjusting our modeling to reflect those future plans.
And Mayor, Councilmember Summers, it also plays off of what the city manager had stated earlier about the reason why to not necessarily plan the municipal planning area that council's adopted too intensively without looking at it holistically. And that's what we've been asked to do with the state land department, and certainly part of this conversation bleeds into the next presentation that the East Valley Partnership is going to make. And we really wanted to look at the whole region, not just the 12 square miles that of interest to us because of flight corridors to the east. We want to really see how the development trends, development patterns, working with the state land department. We know they're starting at the US 60 and kind of working south, and how that timing of releasing the state trust land could impact development into this area.
I do appreciate that, Scott, because I mean oftentimes we tend to focus a little bit too closely. And we always talk, and the mayor's talked quite frequently on that job-to-resident ratio. And if we concentrate on this little piece, I'm afraid we're going to miss the bigger picture, which is Mesa itself has, I don't want to say poor one, but I'm going to use it anyway, a fairly poor job-to-resident ratio. We need to improve that. Gilbert, for that matter, would love to have some jobs closer to it, and that's, I think, part of their interest in this project as well. So taking into consideration the resident population and how they will be able to use this is going to be extremely important. Thank you, Mayor.
Rex?
We're in the process of looking over our zoning codes. Some of them are outdated in our system and processes. Are you going to be able to speak into this processes on how to do a modern system for this area and even parallel processes that moves development quickly and allows it to come to market at a reasonable price and time frame?
Councilman, Mayor, members of the Council, yes. We are aware of the zoning code update. We have coordination included in our scope for that update, and the approach to land use that we're taking is, I believe, I'm going to hazard a guess, very much exactly what you're thinking about in terms of a more flexible and modern approach to land use and zoning.
Rather than a Euclidean approach. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mike. Once again, in reference to transit, there are various funding sources around the country that enables transit to develop. In Dallas, it's the 1% transportation tax. I think Utah probably has a similar type of a thing. Can that be incorporated also into the financial model of different, just like you're going to do facilities districts for infrastructure, what kind of funding sources could be there for transit? And can they be regionally based rather than the whole county? You know, if you're going to do something between Pinal County and Maricopa County in that area, could there be a sub, I don't know if Tom's going to go nuts with this, but could there be a sub area for taxation to a certain point to develop the transit infrastructure, whether it be rapid bus or rail or whatever?
Mayor, members of the council, that's certainly something that we've talked about internally, looking at every option. I mean, that's part of the best practices component of our scope, and also the use of those national experts. Have they seen anything like that before?
Super. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right.
Great, Mayor. And just in conclusion, we did want to add that we're hoping to go back. Many of you attended a breakfast kickoff that we had for this, that the East Valley Partnership and some of our landowners were nice enough to sponsor. We're hoping to do that at the end of this month. We're working with East Valley Partnership right now on nailing that date down, and we're once again trying to bring this out to the property owners, out to the area, so that they are feel invested from the very start and know the manner in which they can provide input in this study. And that's really what we want to provide at that meeting, how what's going to happen and how they can be involved. So we'll be firming up that date and getting it out to everyone very shortly.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. It's exciting areas you've identified, and I think we've known all along. So we want to make sure that if there is some planning aspect of it that we can do in advance, that we certainly do it with our eyes open, and the best practice throughout the United States and the world for that example is something I'd like to bring to the table. Right. Number two, hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on Superstition Vistas.
Mayor, I'll just scoot over a chair and go ahead and get started as Rock comes up. This is really a nice progression from what we're talking about, looking exclusively at Southeast Mesa and planning for that area, to what the East Valley Partnership is looking at just east of Meridian Road and how that's going to impact the area. Some of the questions, Councilmember Summers, that you asked a moment ago, I'm sure Rock would love to address that as well. So with that, we'll turn it over to Rock Arnett with the East Valley Partnership to talk about Superstition Vistas.
Morning, Mayor, Council. Ladies and gentlemen, delighted to be with you again. It's a pleasure to be here, and the subject you just listened to is quite a segue and introduction to the subject I'm hoping to get support for from you folks. The Superstition Vistas area, as you know, is a absolute unprecedented opportunity, as Councilmember Summers mentioned. Over the next 50 years, the horizon is an opportunity to build a model that will be probably used for the next 100 years in this area, and in conjunction with the neighbors to the west, which is, of course, Mesa. The Meridian Road runs, 6 to 8 miles to your east boundary, and one of the important pieces of that what was just discussed needs to be considered. Let me mention that in introduction that we started this project 4.5 years ago, and Mesa participated with the other partners in the Superstition Vistas area, and we published we helped pay for the publishing of the Morrison Institute report, and they called this Superstition Vistas area the Arizona Land Trust jewel. Seldom in the history of the U.S. is there this large a piece of property, this close to an urban center, with a single owner that has the possibility of being planned and arranged for in a very appropriate and correct manner into the future. this is what the area looks like. Page 3, I think, in your slides. You'll note that the Meridian Road, Maricopa County line, Mesa line, up against state land, is exactly the area you were discussing. And Mayor, you asked about the, Councilman Whalen, you asked about the extended metropolitan planning area. The state land department is extremely concerned, as are you, that this is being done in an appropriate manner for all parties concerned. You'll note that this is a large, large area, 275 square miles. As I mentioned, the single owner. Morrison Institute indicated that they project that the residential population into the future could be as much as a million people, somewhere between 800,000 to a million people over the next 50 years. I happen to think that it might be sooner than 50 years. And if you take a look, and to put this in perspective of what this piece of property looks like, this large mass, if you compare it and you overlay this land over Mesa, Tempe, Gilbert, and Chandler, gives you a indication of the size of this property. It is, there's been established a steering committee, and Scott has been on the steering committee, as well as others. We have received input from others from Mesa and your neighbors around the East Valley area. But we're working in conjunction with and in collaboration with the Arizona State Land Department to create a vibrant community with a sense of place anchored by community values that would establish Arizona as a leader in sustainable development. This is going to be a 18 to 24 month project where we develop values, scenarios, and a vision for the future. And that I hate to keep mentioning, but it includes area right next door and land that's very important to the city of Mesa, as well as Apache Junction, as well as Queen Creek, as well as Florence. And so it's an important project, and the State Land Department has been at our side and in the middle of this, and I'll give you the list of committee members in just a moment. The budget for this is $2 million, $1.8 million to $2 million over the next 2 years. We have invited stakeholders from around the area, the cities, counties, plural. Councilmember Rawls, you remember when the flood control issues have been there and they're still there. Those need to be reviewed. So we are inviting Maricopa County to participate, as well as Pinal County. We have commitments from Pinal County, from Apache Junction, from Florence. We have commitments from Queen Creek. And we're asking the cities to put in $120,000 over a 3-year period. There are other commitments that have already been given. For example, one of the key stakeholders as a future power provider would be Salt River Project. They have committed $450,000 over a 3-year period for this project. We've also gone to foundations, and we will be approaching other foundations. Sonoran Land Institute, Sonoran Institute has committed $250,000. There is in the state land budget $300,000 that can go towards this $2 million. It will not be given to us directly, but it will be in kind because they're doing certain economic studies and other studies of flood studies with portions of this property. The funds will be used to establish and appoint a senior project consultant that will help guide this over the next 2 years. We hope to obtain and engage an experienced senior nationally recognized consultant. In the previous presentation you just received, they talked about national consultants and experts. We hope to bring an expert as good as we can find in the country that has had experience planning this large a piece of property, and there are not very many of them in the country. We have sent out an RFP, and we followed the procurement code so that your funds would be protected and appropriate, assuming we move forward, you move forward to participate with us. And we now have selected three that will be flying in on the 21st, a week from today. And they will have a flyover of the area. The three that we have narrowed down to are Robert Groh out of Salt Lake, and he is bringing a consortium. Sasaki out of Massachusetts, and the other is EDA, both Phoenix and Newport Beach. The steering committee will be doing the selecting. We are looking for great things from this consultant. The East Valley Partnership, along with Pinal Partnership, will be doing the facilitation of this project, calling the meetings, making arrangements, and all the things that need to be done with the facilitation. We also hope to hire a part-time Superstition Vistas director, which will be an on-the-ground local person who has had great experience in planning this kind of a large-scale project. The process is much as you saw in the previous presentation. We need to determine, and we need to have help guiding, what are the values? What do people really want? What do people really want into the future? 50 years is a long time, and can you build a project that, in fact, delivers what people want, and can you devise a plan that will, in fact, respond to changing conditions? Then what's the vision to provide that, and how do you implement and plan and fund and build the project? Funding is a very serious issue. All the funding mechanisms will be considered. Obviously, communities, facilities, districts, and even perhaps taking an opportunity to consider other funding mechanisms, and perhaps ask the legislature to give us tax incremental financing of some type on this major piece of property. It might be difficult with the state land, but there's a lot of work that's got to be done in that funding area. So the process is to create a vision and a process whereby, following the process, the state land department gains greater value than the normal standard quo of letting property go to sale a piece at a time. And we think by putting in a process that, in fact, we can deliver greater value to the state land and therefore the beneficiaries, who are the K-12, principally the K-12 students. We will follow the normal phases, preparation, scenario planning, analyze, then develop the vision and scenarios for the future. As was mentioned earlier, there are some key issues that need to be resolved in this area. Obviously, the environment. Flood control is still a serious problem in the area. Those earthen dams are deteriorating. Is there not a way that the earthen dams can be built perhaps upstream, perhaps the arroyos to hold the water as it comes down, much like the Indian Ben Wash kind of thing? What about land use? What about the land immediately to the east of the Williams Gateway area? And transportation. All these are key issues. What about the ingress and egress out of Williams Gateway? What about the transit, transportation, commuter rail? I'm going to suggest that when Maricopa, when MAG and Pinal County, Northern Pinal County, are considering their commuter rail study process, perhaps a sixth bubble ought to be out into the Apache Junction, down to the Gold Canyon, perhaps even to the Florence Junction area consideration, which is not currently on the commuter rail possibility. Some may throw me out, but at least we need to talk about it because it is a 50-year horizon and it ought to be considered. Can we, in fact, improve the air quality or assist to improve air quality? can we drive jobs so that the driving times are less? Open spaces, housing opportunities. You can see that the list is long and many. What is in this for the city of Mesa? What are the deliverables? I believe that you would then join with your stakeholders and neighbors and partners to the rest of the region, help participate in solving growth challenges, economic impact. I've mentioned flood. Transportation, in my mind, and transit plans are extremely important, and you mentioned that earlier in the previous presentation, where they are coordinated and consolidated with what's going on in Southeast Mesa and, of course, the rest of the valley. Land use plan is important. Housing is important. Environmental issues, creations of the right types of jobs throughout the area, and considering the Boeing test flight preservation. Another point is that Mesa is the licensee and prospective licensee for much of this area for gas service with the Magma Gas Company. the other funds would be to support the small staff that we would have, and in a real way you would help the state land department move forward this area, which is our neighbor next to us to the east, in effect, to move forward this land over a next 50-year period. This is the list of the Superstition Vista Steering Committee that has been serving. You'll note that Mesa is represented by Scott. All the stakeholders are included. As other funders may come along, they may be invited to participate with us as well. We think that this is, in fact, an additional legacy project, an opportunity to plan our immediately adjacent border to Mesa to the east, and impact the entire region with this project. That's my presentation, Mayor, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mayor, and if I could just add as well, as I know Rock is looking for direction as to whether the city would like to participate in this project. If the decision is to move forward from a budget standpoint, we do have some excess revenue this year in the Williams Gateway department that we can carry over that was achieved through cost savings and some salary savings that we can dedicate to this amount. And we've worked with the city manager and the budget department to potentially have those funds available for carryover if that's the direction that the council would like to move in. So with that, Mayor, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. And Mayor, also clarification. At this point, I think we see a lot of merit in moving forward with this initiative. I think we can support it. At this point, though, we would recommend that we only commit to the 1 year of the three at this point. Just because I think we're doing so much on our own, and if we're looking at what we're going to do with Apache Junction, we're kind of trying to understand the perspective and added value for Mesa in the long term. I think right now it does make a lot of sense. There's a lot of opportunities out here. Again, this is a huge area, 275 square miles. I think the city of Mesa is 100 and how many?
170.
We're at 170, so it's twice the size of Mesa, at least, if not more.
Got your math wrong.
You said it's 130?
Yeah. It's 170 planning area.
Total
planning area.
All right. So planning area,
okay, gotcha.
340, there's 275, so we're a little bit, right. It's not it's quite the same, but it's close. So I think our city limit is 130. That sound right? Okay, so from a city limit line, I think that's what I was thinking, it was a 260. Anyway, that's just kind of where we are right now, is just a kind of a one-year look-see, and then come back to the council after the first year with what's been done, and then decide whether we would go forward for future years.
Okay, and what's that dollar magnitude?
It's $120,000 over 3 years, so I believe the
$40,000
is what we're talking to.
Okay. All right.
I want to first start complimenting the governor. I think that Janet Napolitano finally brought the state trust land and the ADOT and even the Department of Water Resources together to say, hey, this doesn't make sense to not master plan this with state agencies and enhance the value, and I think that's what we're seeing. I hope that some state trust land reform over the next few years also comes forward with this opportunity, because we need it in order to have even better coordination. There was the study that was done, forgot the name of it, that suggested maybe a city be created from scratch out in this area, as opposed to just everybody gobbling up little areas and nobody doing it quite right. I am still a proponent of that concept, or two cities, or whatever it is, but start with your own governance, you know, build one right with all of the ingredients instead of piecemeal selling them off. Now, Apache Junction, I know, in order to be sufficient at build-out, needs probably some additional land to get a little bit more balance. You know, a little, some of the vision that Mesa did was the same thing. We could see that we needed the Gateway Center for jobs to make sure that residents had that balance of choices in our community. Apache Junction probably needs the same thing, and I think they're working in that direction. They don't need 230 square miles. But I don't want, you know, then Queen Creek picks off a little bit, and Florence Junction picks off a little bit, and Gold Canyon, and you don't have anything that was really, in my opinion, done right. So I hope that somehow, just personally, that concept of a city from scratch percolates back up and is not precluded by any of the discussions that the different contributors municipalities have on, well, I'm in it because I want this chunk. I hope they're thinking of it a little broader and looking at for what would really be sustainable long term, because it's a terrific a possibility out there. Where are we at on the 208 permits? Is that on hold also? I just want to make sure. This is the sewer and water. Right.
Mayor, my understanding is, and that's one of the reasons that, going back to my first comments about holding off on that 10 square mile area, that's been part of the dialogue with the Apache Junction, is that my understanding is that today, while an application was initiated, it's been put on hold until we have further discussions about the planning area and how we're going to proceed there. Because the city of Mesa has still taken the position that we're very concerned about that application and what it means for not only the 10.5 square mile area, but frankly for this larger area. And I think that's something this initiative needs to address, because frankly, that that initiative and the granting of that permit really would put one entity in a position to dictate development out there, regardless of this effort. And so we're working with Apache Junction. My understanding is at this point we certainly have been in contact with the, is it the CAG? CAG? About that process, and to make sure that we're very much involved in the continuation of that application, so we're made aware of it. My understanding at this point is that is been put on hold, for lack of a word. It has not been removed, or the request hasn't necessarily been terminated, but it is not moving forward and advancing through the process at this time.
Okay. Well, and if they start pointing back on, well, you have the gas distribution system already locked in, my opinion, nothing's developed out there. If somebody else wants to start their own energy source, it's not natural gas. And so I don't want to play one off against the
right.
other.
Right. Well, and I don't believe our certificated area does. I don't believe it includes this entire area like the 208 permit would.
Okay.
And you can dictate development on wastewater capacity much greater than you can about whether or not you can provide natural gas. If you don't get the natural gas line there, they just go with SRP. So.
Right. But the 208 on the wastewater permits, which is a county permitting issue, once they have that, then they control all the effluent.
Yep.
And if you're trying to use an water efficient, you really have to, you're locked into that source. And if it's a municipality that, well, this is actually a separate they say it's not Apache Junction, but
it is.
Man, it's Apache Junction. It's a separate board that's supposed to be separate and autonomous from the council, but there's a whole lot of overlap there. So I just hope that as we work through this, that that one's put at abeyance, and that they'll give up that concept if the idea of a city from scratch or something else starts, so that they can actually then use that wastewater over and over again, which I think is going to be some of the technology that's going to be probably incorporated into more of a green, sustainable community out there. So,
Mayor, Council, let me just first start by saying the name that Grady Gamage came up when he wrote this report was Superstitionville. I don't care for that at all, and I would suggest perhaps that with your imagination and thinking that you could help us come up with a better prospective name for this all-encompassing city. Realistically, however, I believe that the Superstitionville concept does have a lot of merit. I think that perhaps some modification of a city, some kind of a partnership city, and I don't know what all the options would be, but I like very much your concept and that thinking. And then I need to add that the State Land Department has realized all these different interests of the stakeholders, the water, the sewer, the drainage, the flood, transportation, transit, the list just goes on, and realized how important this kind of planning, and to do it right because of how big it is and where it is and what's involved. You notice that on our list of the members of the steering committee, Shannon Scutari, part of the governor's cabinet on smart growth, sits in our meetings and attends virtually every one, along with Mark Winkleman. We think that, done correctly, that the governor might name this as a demonstration project in conjunction with moving forward state land reform, and we're very much working on that process as well. So all these issues that you've mentioned are of great concern to the land, to the State Land Department, and they will be addressed specifically in all these professional studies that we will be doing.
Right. And I know there's some other statewide studies that are looking at transportation out 25, 50 years that would maybe build some new major freeways, whether they be tolled or however they become financed, that may have a huge secondary route down into Tucson and some of the other concepts that are floating around there. So And I think some of that's already been somewhat looked at some from some of the ADOT studies. So I think, the coordination with the ADOT and the State Trust Land for the first time, and I think under Janet's leadership, is coming together so that they do, in fact, enhance the value when they sell the land. So it's a win-win situation for back to the state and the Education Trust Fund. So, I compliment the work that's been done. But don't piecemeal this thing is my warning, because I can see that not getting the maximum effect of the return back to the state of Arizona from the funds going into that education trust.
Mayor, if I might, let me respond to the piecemeal comment, and you're absolutely right. That's the process that we hope to put in place, that by establishing the vision and the values on this land, in fact, we can establish so that as the land department sells it, it will be understood and accepted that it is built with the plan in mind over a long period of time. With that in mind also, the desert communities, the people that bought the 1,000 acres, will be joining our, they've also committed, frankly, money to join our operation, and they are getting direction from the land department so that, in fact, they are consolidating, cooperating, collaborating with us as we move forward. And they plan the first 7,500 acres in that area.
Right.
It is a difficult issue to make sure we keep all of the stakeholders headed in the same direction, but that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and my concept with the 10 square miles that Mesa wanted to take a look at on the other side of Meridian was just to protect the arrival and departure and some of the concerns that Boeing had for the airport. I'd be the first one to say, we don't want to annex that and develop it. If there's somebody else that will do it right, I'd turn it over to them in a heartbeat. I'm not anxious to go out beyond Meridian Road and do that type of development. But if it goes piecemeal, then we're going to be a player and we're going to protect that freeway corridor and the arrival and departure into the airport. So that's kind of what my interest is in that.
However, to think outside the box, with your bonding base, you might be one of the few that has the wherewithal financially to help with infrastructure in that area. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need to annex, but could there not be some kind of a partnership with Superstitionville, with Apache Junction, in moving forward with infrastructure, et cetera?
Well, I think as all of that shakes out, I think the strong players will rise to the surface, and
exactly.
State Trust Land is going to have to make a tough decision if they don't have the wherewithal to build one unit from scratch. So, yeah, if it keeps being piecemeal, then Mesa may be a player. That would not be my first choice by any means.
We intend not to do piecemeal process, Mayor.
Correct. All right. Mike.
Thank you. I kind of like Rockville. Rock, I understand that there was a potential or a filed lawsuit between the county and the state land over the earth and dam structures. Where is that currently? Is that on hold?
My understanding, and I could be corrected by others that might know more correctly, that there has been a settlement reached. They've thrown it to the judge to decide yes, no, or maybe. But at the end of the day, the dams still need to be fixed. The question was over the easement and the alignment of the easement,
right.
And how much of the easement,
right.
And that, and who cares for the dams. And that has all gone to the judge, and I don't know the full details of that, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, the flood control and flood issues need to be cared for in a very professional manner on the entire area, which includes this small portion.
And those earthen structures protect Williams Gateway Airport?
Protects north of Williams Gateway Airport, Williams Gateway Airport, south into the industrial area, into Queen Creek, and on down into Florence.
There was some talk about that being a potential freeway corridor area because of the fact that if they were reconstructed into some sort of a flood-controlled channel, then you could run transportation along there or power line corridor or whatever you needed.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a transportation planning expert, but that very well could be a possibility. I've seen some models from experts who have looked at this area. That may not be the best way to go. Certainly, taking the Williams Gateway Freeway, extending it east, has got a lot of possibility. And then north and south, and the location of those may be, once we put all the factors on the table with professionals taking a look, it may not be the best case to run it down the CAP. Again, it may be. So those are the things we're looking at.
ADOT is not a member of the steering committee. Do you anticipate inviting them?
In effect, they are through Shannon Scutari.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Rex.
This airspace over most of this area is controlled by MOA, the military operating airspace that's run out of David Motham in Tucson. Have we brought them to the table at all and talked to them?
Are you talking about the gunnery range on the far east side?
Yeah, and most of the practice area for the jets are over this area. It's called the MOA. It's the military operating airspace.
That will be under consideration very seriously, as well as the area immediately to the east of Williams Gateway. It's my understanding that the gunnery range lease expires in 10 years, and so the State Land Department is anxious to have that expire, so that they can put the whole piece into play. Let me just also mention, I was going to mention earlier that we've talked about your expanding your planning area. Florence wants to go all the way north to Combs Road. Combs Road all the way east to as far as Hayden. And it is Mayor Rankin's intent that he wants to be the largest landmass in the West, Florence, Arizona. Well, that may be appropriate, that may not be appropriate, but those are some of the things we need to contend with. But the airspace will be very seriously looked at.
David Mothman in the past has said they've sort of been ignored in some of the conversations on different districts. We've looked down but not up, so it might be some...
We'll take that into consideration.
The other one is the new Williams Gateway Freeway. Is it 802?
I'm sorry?
Is the new freeway, 802 freeway, coming off the 202 by Williams Gateway that on all planning maps stops at Pinal County, maybe starts at Florence, and you have the big gap where you can't connect the line because of state trust land. Whatever we can do to, you know, I encourage you that we change some of the legislation so we can actually plan freeway through state trust land and even you know, electrical lines. But right now we don't have the right to do. You have to sell them unencumbered, which makes no sense to me at all.
Mayor and council member, that's why we need land reform.
Thank you.
Florence is going to have to chase Buckeye if they're going to be left. I think Buckeye's going for 750 square miles. So
they had East LA, I think they're annexing.
So. Yeah. Any other questions? Rock, thanks for the update on this. This needs an action this morning, or what's the...
A move of 40,000.
Just the direction moving forward with that.
Second. All right. Motion and second to put 40,000 in the budget for this year and then do it on an
we'll
annual basis. It's
council.
Not locked for the three-year program. All right. Discussion on it?
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? All right. Passes by those present.
Thank you, council.
All right. Okay, item number three is acknowledging receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. We have two.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes. Four, hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Update, Scott.
I'll be brief, but Rock is leaving the East Valley Partnership Board. I understand, Mike, you just came off and I'm
terming out.
You're terming out and I'm taking your place. So I was at that meeting and was sworn in. I appreciate, Rock, your inviting me to participate. I'm looking forward to that.
Good. Anyone else? Scheduling of meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just remind the council that we will have a Thursday, June 21st study session and followed by an intergovernmental affairs committee meeting after that. Also want to remind you for that meeting, for our next study session, we will be having the consultants for the city. Jack, did you have something? Did you want to go ahead? Why don't you go ahead?
Yes, it'll be the zoning code update, and that's the material that we presented maybe 3 weeks ago. It'll probably be a longer than usual study session to go through all the potential changes in the zoning code.
If council needs, we handed out that booklet last time, that summary. If you need another copy, please let us know. Gordon's going to be including kind of a breakdown summary of that report just to kind of facilitate how to go through it. But if we're just going to give council a heads up to prepare for questions, comments, we'll have the consultant here that morning.
21st?
Correct.
21st. So we'll be Thursday. 11 o'clock intergov meeting then probably. Posted for 9.
Immediately, yes. That's later from 8 that we had originally scheduled for. Okay. So then Monday, of course, the 25th, we have a council meeting. And then let me just jump to July. In July, we have scheduled a council meeting on July 2nd as well as July 9th in order to have our two meetings in July. What we're proposing, if, with council's concurrence, is that we would cancel the July 5th study session. What we would do, though, is on July 2nd, during the study session preceding the council meeting, as we would normally do, we would be reviewing that agenda for that evening, but we would also have for you, because you'll have received it on the Friday before, we'll also review the July 9th council meeting agenda, so at least we can get the input from council for that meeting for the July 9th, and therefore we can cancel July 5th. So if council is comfortable with that, we'll move forward in that direction.
Question then, Chris, are we then back to a study on August 2nd?
No, it's Carla, when's the August
13th?
So study on the 9th.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Any other questions on that? All right. Are there any requests to speak this morning?
I'm none, Mayor.
All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.